Good afternoon. It is 2 p.m. We are here today, February 13, 2018, for the pre-hearing continuation of OPAPA 18-002, Corando Corporation versus the Department of Public Works. Presiding over the hearing today are Hearing Officer Anthony Camacho and Public Auditor Doris Flores Brooks. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Yuka Hechinova and Jared Hernandez. Will Appellant Corando please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Leslie Travis on behalf of Corando Corporation. Present at council table with me is Kiwa Khan, an engineer from Corando Corporation. Also present today is Byung-ho Kim, the president of Corando Corporation.
Thank you. Will purchasing agency DPW please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Yeah, Thomas P. Keeler, here on behalf of government. There are no representatives.
Thank you. We may proceed.
We have two preliminary matters, Mr. Keeler, and the first, just a couple of filings that were made, and the first is the appellant's objection to DPW's notice of interested parties.
I'm not aware of it.
Okay. And then, well, I guess they're objecting to your January 24th, 2018 filing of notice of interested parties being Parsons Transportation Group and Harkins Brinkerhoff. So that's what they're objecting to. But I don't believe that those two parties, when I looked at the file, I don't believe they made any formal entry of appearance. Is that correct?
No. Okay, so we're requested on Thursday, I believe, to file notice of interested parties for purposes of conflicts. And so, since those are the consultants for the Department of Public Works, I included them.
For purposes of conflicts?
For a conflicts check. That is what the notice from the OPA was.
Okay, so you're just letting the OPA know for our purposes, see if anybody's got a conflict of interest.
That's correct.
But they
are not parties.
Okay, but neither, I just want to verify that neither Parsons or Parsons Brinkerhoff has made an entry of appearance in this matter.
No, and if there's any issue with that, I'll go ahead and stipulate to.
Well, they did file their objection, but at the same time, the AG's office does not represent them in any capacity, is that correct?
No.
And you're not here representing either Parsons or Parsons Brinkerhoff, is that right?
Unless to the extent they work for or do work for DPW.
Okay, but aren't they independent contractors? Okay, but aren't they independent contractors?
Yes.
Okay, so. Do you want to say anything, Ms. Travis, concerning
that? Just briefly. So I believe that the request that Mr. Keeler is referring to was the February 7th, 2018 notice that was issued by the Office of Public Accountability requesting, it's a standard form we get in every procurement, requesting information regarding legal counsel, procurement officer, board of directors, all of the officials relative to this appeal, all the procurement officials relative to this appeal, and then it states that our office requires information to complete a conflict of interest research. So I'm not really sure. It sounds like Mr. Keeler is conceding the issue that these aren't actually interested parties within the definition of law procurement law. It's a term of art. It's defined under the statute. It's somebody who has, I believe I defined it here, an actual or prospective bidder, offeror, or contractor who appears to have a substantial and reasonable prospect of receiving an award if the appeal is denied. So it doesn't appear as though, to our knowledge, certainly either of these parties constitute an interested party within the meaning of Guam law. And it sounds like Mr. Keeler is clarifying the record now that they're not interested parties.
Okay, I'm going to
within the meaning of Guam law.
Decide your objection more or less without it here now that that's been clarified. I think that Mr. Keeler is merely responding to our request of who are the parties related to this procurement just so that we can do a conflict check to make sure on our side there's no conflict of interest with any parties or board members, because we work hard to make sure that If there is a potential conflict, we just close it, you know. So I think that's all Mr. Keeler was doing. And he can correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what I kind of got from his statement. And they're not a party to this proceeding, nor does Mr. Keeler represent them in any capacity. So I think that I'll draft a decision on your objection. That'll be forthcoming. Okay.
Thank you very much. It's just in previous procurements, obviously in the Cortec procurement, there was an interested party and they appeared in the case and they presented an entire.
Yeah, but they appeared as a party. I mean, they actually said entry of appearance, they participated in pleadings, they were separately represented. So.
When we received this notice of interested party, our initial concern was that when you notice an interested party, it then empowers them to take certain actions.
Yeah, we understand that, but I think that matter, at least in my opinion, has been cleared up, but I'll put that in writing. Okay.
Thank you.
The second issue, Mr. Keeler, is Appellant Carondo Corporation's request for supplementation of procurement record and to extend the time to file comments in the agency report and the motion cutoff date. The original motion cutoff date was February the 9th, last week Friday. So they filed this on the motion cutoff date. And it appears that they're saying that essentially there's some additional documents relating to their claims on this appeal.
Correct.
I know that there was a supplement. Are you aware? First of all, are you aware of this motion?
No.
You're not?
Okay. Well, I heard about it yesterday from Assistant Attorney General Titanel.
Okay. Did you need some time to respond? Would you like to respond to this in writing?
No. I do it verbally. I have no objection to a extension of the time for filing.
Okay, but what about the additional documents that they're requesting? I know that, did you file something today?
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay, what did you file?
I filed it's documents from WSP that predated what they believed to be the procurement record. They would have been preliminary design documents, etc. And we responded to, and I know it's separate and apart from the OPA proceedings, but we responded to a FOIA request, and in preparing the FOIA response, I came across these documents and then filed.
Okay. Did you give a copy of them to Ms. Travis?
Yes.
All right. Ms. Travis, have you had the opportunity to review them at all?
I have, if I may.
Go ahead. Does they satisfy your request for additional documents?
It does not.
Okay, go ahead.
It appears as though the documents are more recent in date. So prior to yesterday's filing, the procurement record consisted of essentially all pre-bid documents. Hmm. There were the bid analysis documents, for example, all pre-award documents. And obviously, we are years past the award at this point. What's being the subject of this appeal is whether or not the denial of the claim submitted by Carondo in October of 2016 was proper. We don't have a single communication from any party submitted by DPW in this procurement record relevant to that issue on appeal. And obviously, we're well aware of it now because we're dealing with this in a separate procurement matter, obviously, in the Cortec appeal where, I mean, the volume of emails and communications that discuss the decision that was ultimately issued by DPW has been produced. In this case, we don't have a single communication that explains what the analysis was with regards to some fairly technical claims that were submitted by Carondo to DPW.
This is a claim that's at the center of your appeal?
It is. It's the primary issue on our appeal is we submitted approximately $498,000 worth of claims to DPW, and they have approved $29,000 worth of claims. And we want to know why they denied all of these claims. Obviously, when we entered into the December 2015 stipulation with regard to rescinding the termination of Carondo, we did so with the understanding, and actually it's explicitly stated in that stipulation, that DPW was going to consider in good faith all claims that are submitted by Carondo Corporation that resulted from the termination and the delay of the project due to DPW's improper termination of Carondo. But now, here we are, like nearly 2 years, so a year and a half later after we submitted our claims, DPW finally issues a decision, and it's kind of bare bones. All it states is that this cost is not reimbursable, this cost is not reimbursable. And to be fair, some of the claims are more specifically addressed, more thoroughly addressed, but we don't know what technical analysis, if any, DPW performed that justifies their denial of Carondo's claims. So for that purpose,
okay.
Pursuant to Guam law...
We're not here to argue the whole thing. I was just trying to see if, perchance, the filing would have satisfied it. And, clearly, it doesn't sound like it has. So, thank you, Ms. Fred. How long would it take you to respond to her objection, or her, not objection, but request to supplement the procurement record? Either by if the documents exist, either by finding them and supplementing the record, or if they don't, or if you think that you already have, to the extent that documents exist, provided the procurement record. I mean, would it take you a week or two, or how long?
We could respond by Friday.
Okay, so I'm going to give you until Friday to draft your opposition, if any, or your response. And so, and I'll just say replies would be due the following Friday.
That's fine. So Friday is the 16th, I believe, and then the following Friday is the 23rd?
Yes. Yeah, this Friday is the 16th and the 23rd. I'll be drafting a briefing schedule.
Okay.
And
available to hear the
It depends on when you're going to get the motion. So if it's in April, that's what we're talking about.
Well, February, late February.
So the party is available at 10 o'clock on 26th of February for a hearing on your request?
We're available. Just another matter of procedure. This Friday, February 16th, is also the deadline for our comments to the agency report, which under our motion is also deficient.
He already said that he agrees to extend that deadline.
Okay.
Okay.
And
so,
I suppose that a notice will go out with regard to that after it's resolved?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to hold a request for extending the motion filing deadline in abeyance until the this matter is resolved one way or the other. All right, at 10 o'clock will be the hearing for the motion or the appellant's request for supplementation of procurement record. Okay. Are there any other preliminary matters we need to take up at this time?
Nothing further from Congress.
Nothing.
Well, now the big thing. When do we hold the hearing in this matter? We think we're available around...
In April. The first
week
of April.
Starting around April the 2nd.
I am scheduled to be off island April 5th and 6th.
Okay, so the 9th?
How about April 9th? That's over the next week.
Yeah.
The first Monday of the next week. So April 9th, and How long, Ms. Travis, do you think it's going to take you for the case in chief?
It's impossible for us to know until we receive these documents. I mean, we really don't know how many...
If you had to guess, 2 days, 3 days, 1 week?
We don't have a single email communication here, so we don't actually know the breadth of... We don't know how deep this all goes with regard to witnesses. If I had to guess, sight unseen, without knowing anything further, I would say less than a week.
Less than a week, so we're talking about 4 days, 3 or 4 days?
It's Ms. Tang, so it's difficult for me to assess. Okay. It really, what it comes down to is that it's technical in nature. We submitted a number of claims. I think that at the end there were 19 or 20 claims. I don't know if just a couple of witnesses will be able to testify to the technical aspects of each of those claims and whether or not they should have been approved. So I don't know. It's difficult at this point to state with any certainty how many witnesses we will need in terms of expert witnesses.
So about 3 to 4 days, but you're not really sure. Okay.
Correct.
And then, Mr. Keeler, how many days do you think it would take you to present your case in chief?
I think it's going to take around no longer than that, because what we're dealing with here is going through various submissions or submittals, and it could be a tedious process. I would say, you know, your government response, 3 days.
So altogether more than a week.
And that's, you know, just to make sure that I...
That's an estimate. No, these are just estimates. I'm not going to hold you to it.
Okay.
All right.
It really does depend on the volume of documents that we receive.
Hmm. All right. And then I would look through the... How big is the procurement record in this case?
This book.
Okay, so...
It's surprisingly thin.
So
far,
that's the basis for our motion.
Okay, so about a week or so with both parties, and we're going to 9 a.m. on the 9th, April
9th? Yeah.
Okay. All right, so the hearing of this matter will be scheduled at 9 a.m. on April the 9th, and 2018. I will submit the scheduling order and the formal notice for that hearing. Likewise, I'll be issuing the briefing schedule. As stated, for the appellant's request to supplement the procurement record. Okay, and of course, you won't have the hearing if you actually find documents and you provide them and she's satisfied, or Ms. Travis is satisfied with them. Okay, we can always take this off the calendar. Okay, are there any other issues this time?
We're going to take the hearing off the calendar? No, we're talking about the motion hearing. For the
26th. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, are there any other issues that we need to take up at this time?
Nothing further.
Mr. Keeler?
Nothing.
All right. Thank you. And this hearing is adjourned, and we're off the record at 2:22 p.m.